does quantity equal quality? And how do those numbers play a part in community building? Let's dive in.
Hello, friends. Welcome to the Community Lab, where passion intertwines with purpose and profit. We're not merely weaving tales of hobbies becoming side gigs here. We're about crafting endeavors that deeply resonate and reward. Whether you're creating courses, guiding lives, or kickstarting a podcast journey, let's elevate together from being zealous dreamers to standout community leaders. Explore the balance between passion and profitability as we unwrap the tools and tactics we use to create, maintain, and grow our own profitable community. So, what's our pledge to you? To guide you from mere daydreaming to creating a vision that's both successful and meaningful, fostering authentic ties in a close-knit community. If you're fueled by passion, eyeing a new prosperous path, and curious about making community a pillar of your success, the Community Lab awaits. Join us and let's turn those visions into profitable ventures.
Hello, friends, and welcome back to the Community Lab podcast. I'm your host, Rachel. Okay, friends, this week we're going to be talking about engagement numbers and why quality will be quantity every time. Let's start off with kind of a little background. What are vanity metrics? So I want you to understand the vanity matrix trap. I think that it's so ingrained in us now, right? We're busy on social media, getting the clicks and the likes and the hearts and all the things, that we sometimes lose sight of what really matters. And that is the quality content that you're putting out for your community. And are they engaging with it? So it's twofold. When you start looking at content planning and engagement planning for your community, you want to think outside of some of those vanity metrics. You want to maybe think about how frequently is your community consuming you? So it really depends on your business model, right? If you have the type of community that people are constantly engaging in and they're in every day, then obviously you want to give them communications, resources, some sort of engagement daily, if that's the type of community it is. More than likely, because we're talking about hosting private communities, we have that big hiccup where we have to now train our users to check in with us in the same manner that they're used to with traditional social media. And while that is a huge hurdle to be made, it can be made. It also boils down to capacity, time, and really what is the dynamic of your community? What's that ethos? So when I look at the Community Lab, I have a really deep understanding that we are not a daily check-in type community. The reason being is that we're a space for you to come, for you to get some information, run some ideas, bounce some things around with others, and gain some knowledge. And that's not going to necessarily be something that you do daily. We're not a news service. It's not that the information that we drop in the community is something that must be consumed immediately. And because of that, we're really cautious at how much communication we do. Even now, when our community is really small, as we're really launching it, we want to be cautious that we have a nice balance. So we have a content calendar. And that content calendar says that we engage and we do this type of content on this day, so on and so forth. But right now, we don't want to have a large community, so we're really cautious in our communications. We don't want to over-communicate and overload, so we're really cautious in what we put out. Now, when I start talking about looking at metrics within my community, there's a lot of things to look at. There isn't just that tried and true. There's not a number that I would say this is the only number that's important. Because truly, the number could be different that you're looking at. I go back to for over a decade now, when I talk to people about building out their newsletter lists, and I say to them, the idea is to definitely grow. We want to grow that list and we want to nurture that list, just like we want to grow and nurture our communities. But we also want to be cautious that we don't have a whole lot of people on our list or in our community that aren't our actual ideal member. My goal with the Community Lab is to attract our ideal members. It's not necessarily to say we have 10,000 users. It's to say I have 1,000 active ideal members in my community. Because, wow, I'll tell you, that 1,000 is way cooler than the 10,000 that might periodically pop in, might never log back in, don't engage in anything. So I have to start looking at dynamics from a lot of different ways. I want you to begin by really understanding the vanity metric trap. And vanity metrics are essentially the numbers that they look impressive on the surface, but don't necessarily coordinate to the real health or success of a business or a community. I like to say that I like to do a monthly check-in with my clients' communities, and we call that a health check-in. So once a month, at the end of the month, we do a review of their community and the health of their community, and we kind of give it a rating. Now, that does include looking at analytics and tried and true numbers and revenue. All of those things are part of that overall picture and the health of the community. But there isn't a number that says we were a success or a failure this month. You don't ever look at it as necessarily we're a failure. There's just room for improvement, right? So when we start talking about vanity metrics, it's hard to not mention traditional social media and Instagram in particular. We see time after time, micro influencers on Instagram or major influencers on Instagram with these large audiences, astronomical numbers. And you think, wow, if I had that many people in my community. Now there's twofold with that, right? So those people have that many followers, that's that many more people to manage. It's also really important to note that they might be following that person for an obscure reason. It could have been a promotion. There is a lot of behind the scenes as to how that number got there. It's also important to know how frequently do those followers actually engage with content from that content creator. So we have to really look at these vanity numbers and say, is this an actual number that matters to our business and the health of our community? Or is this a number to chew on, digest, and say, okay, that's something to reference. And there's one really key component to all numbers, right? If you're trying to grow, you want to see engagement go up. You want to see the growth of the community happen, and you want to see those numbers increase. So as long as you're not, you know, losing engagement, that's a number that I get nervous about. When I look at the end of the month reports for a client's community and I see the health of their community has decreased, there's a couple of items that I will immediately look at. One, I'm going to say, okay, so did we do a promotion the month before? Were we hosting a large event or a workshop within the community that would really drive up engagement? So that this month of down engagement is sort of a faux leveling out month. So that's the first thing I'm going to look at. And if that's not the case, let's just say I'm trying true. I'm working my normal content strategy. I am putting out the content. I'm showing up. I'm creating. I'm engaging. And I see a decrease in engagement in my community. I'm going to then look at historical data. Now, if you don't have historical data, you can start to gather it and you can kind of decipher and use best judgment. What I mean by that is, for instance, one of the communities that I help grow and manage is the ABC community. And it's a community of mainly parents educators, with folks that involve special education. And so this community is 9 times out of 10, you're looking at a parent. And so you have to start looking at like, what's the dynamic of a parent's year? And so we definitely see a decrease in engagement in the summer because it's summer break. The kids are home. There's things happening. And so we have to really monitor the content that we put out in the summer. Now, we do a whole back to school promotion in there, and that obviously will help drive engagement up. But also, when it comes to back to school time, parents tend to get engaged again because there's the hustle and the bustle, and the pace is different. Just like around holidays, that can be a real downturn in community engagement for everyone. People are busy. Their time, their energy, their capacity, their bandwidth is someplace else. So those are other key components to take a look at. And that's why I think it's really important at the end of the month to do that community review and a health check and say, okay, how are we doing? What can we tweak and make better? What can we keep doing that's working awesome? The idea behind looking at numbers is to make sure that you don't get sucked into that trap of a vanity metric and saying, well, we generated 15 new community members last month, and this month we only generated 4. Well, what happened there? Well, maybe last month you did something that generated extra community members, aka you had a promotion. Also, keep in mind the type of community member, especially if you're offering different tiers of engagement. So if you offer a free tier and a paid tier or multiple paid tiers in your community, you want to start to look at how many people are upgrading. What's your conversion rates? Did you have a high conversion of folks coming in at a lower price point and increasing? Or do you have people coming at your top tier and they're not even looking at the bottom tiers? These are all really important factors you can take into mind when you start looking at pricing structure and the content that you're going to put out in your community. I had a client once and we had a 3-tier plan and everyone bought the top tier. I think we had 2 people on the lower tier. And we realized really quickly that people, one, saw value at that price point, and we also saw that we could twilight 2 of the tiers. So we actually just converted a couple of members who had already come into lower tier to the highest. And what we did is we took that highest tier and then we came out with sort of like an ultimate above that tier that we charged a whole lot more money for at this point. We also knew we had lowballed the price. We had done some surveying in particular and said, how much would you pay for this? And we were really surprised. The surveying showed us we were going to have to really be at the price point we came out of the gate at. And then with the user activity showed us we could charge a whole lot more. So we gradually made that pivot, and it really funny because the community almost doubled in size in that year. So we doubled the sticker price and we doubled the size of the community, all because we had kind of undervalued ourselves and people weren't so apt to say, well, what am I really going to get for $29 a month? Probably not necessarily worth it. They wanted to pay more because they valued that content and they thought it was more valuable. So they thought maybe they weren't really going to get much for their money at that lower price point. Really interesting data. Now, when we talk about numbers, there's obviously psychology behind the idea of having that huge number. The appeal of large numbers is deeply rooted in human psychology. It's a phenomenon often referred to as social proof, where we assume something is good or valuable if a lot of people are involved with it. This instinct drives us to value larger numbers, believing they signal success, popularity, or credibility. In the context of social media and online communities, this can manifest as an obsession with boosting follower counts or likes, often at the expense of fostering genuine connection. And so that's an interesting item as well. I think one of the components to any really great community is that you allow people to engage with the content
the way that they want to. One of the cool things about Circle, and they literally just dropped an analytics 3.0 version, is that you can dive in and you can see what users are engaging with you. You can see on what devices and how long and where they're spending their time. And it's amazing the data that is in there. When you start to look at the actual engagement, do they all heart every article you post or every podcast episode you drop? Maybe not. But if the person is spending an ample amount of time in your community and you see that they're logging on in multiple different devices and that they're coming on multiple different pages, you can see that it's working. And just because they don't necessarily feel comfortable enough to engage with that content in some way doesn't mean they're not consuming it and doesn't mean it's not working. So this obsession with social proof that we're better or that we're succeeding can sometimes get in the way of the actual building of a thriving community. Ultimately, the psychological pull of vanity metrics can divert attention and resources from what truly matters in your community. Creating a space where people feel valued, heard, and connected. Keep those things in mind when you start looking at that content plan and you start looking at how you're engaging. Are you making them seen and feel valued within your space? By recognizing the seductive trap of these metrics, creators, coaches, and community leaders can redirect their efforts towards cultivating a vibrant, engaging community that thrives on quality interactions, quality, hear me again, and genuine relationships, not just impressive numbers. Quality engagement within the context of community building refers to interactions that are meaningful, valuable, and contribute to a sense of belonging and purpose among community members. It's not just about passive likes or superficial comments. It's about creating a space where conversations are rich, interactions are genuine, and members feel a deep connection to the community and its goals. That buy-in is so key to being successful. This kind of engagement is characterized by active participation, where members not only consume content, but also contribute their thoughts, share their experiences, and support one another. Let's talk about a few benefits of quality engagement. Number one, higher retention. When members find real value and genuine connection within a community, they're more likely to stick around. Quality engagement fosters a sense of loyalty and belonging, and it reduces turnover. This then builds a stable, committed base of community members. Number two, more meaningful relationships. Quality engagement goes beyond surface-level interactions to create deeper, more meaningful relationships among community members. I say this all the time in one of the courses that we have in the Community Lab. I talk about how when you engage back with your community members, be sure to take a little time. And if you don't have the time right then carve it out and take the time to say to them, hey, thanks for that really amazing piece of feedback. I was also thinking about this. If you notice on traditional social media, there's not a whole lot of commenting that's more than like, yay, or I can't wait to do that too. Ask a question sort of thing. Within the engagements of our own communities, we want to be precise in our interactions and we want them to feel valued, seen, and heard, right? So when we start communicating back, so when someone asks a question, make sure you answer it in a very concise and thoughtful way. Spend a little time researching it if you need to. And if you need to research it and you have to tell them. If you need a little more time to comment, say, hey, Sarah, that is a brilliant idea. I'm going to do a little research and get back to you. Give me a day. That makes them feel seen. That gives them a timeline. That gets them back in the community in a day. All of those things check off on the list of building a healthy community. Number three, increase advocates for your brand. Members who feel deeply engaged and valued are more likely to become advocates for your brand. Their genuine enthusiasm and commitment can translate into word of mouth marketing, which we all know that's the golden ticket. Testimonies and social proof that attracts new members and builds your community's reputation. That's what goes back to the health of your community as well. Building out that strong reputation is the go-to in your field. Number four, enhance feedback and collaboration. Engaged communities are treasure troves of insights and ideas. So the more engagement you are seeing in your community and you're setting them up for, the more likely they are to help you with feedback, help you to evolve that community so that it really is just that, a community, a place where lots of ideas are swirling around in the pot and everything has the chance to race to the top. Members who are actively involved are more likely to provide valuable feedback, share innovative ideas, and collaborate on projects driving the community and its purpose forward. And number five, a strong sense of purpose and identity. Quality engagement helps members develop a strong sense of purpose and identity within your community. When members feel like they're part of something bigger, they're more motivated to contribute, participate, and help the community thrive. By prioritizing quality engagement, community builders can create spaces that not only achieve their business goals, but also provide real value and a sense of belonging to their members. This approach turns communities into more than just audiences or customer bases. It transforms them into dynamic, supportive networks that drive mutual success and fulfillment. Now, there are a few items I can just think of off the top of my head of ways that you can cultivate quality engagement. And so I thought I'd give you just a few examples. And obviously, everyone's community is different, but these are a few that I think you can kind of translate into any type. Number one, create interactive and relatable content. The easier it is for your user to consume your content, the easier it is for them to engage with it. Why I say that is part of the reason that we don't just write a new blog post every week and we record a podcast episode is that, number one, each week's podcast episode is a piece of content that we are choosing to create and put into the community. So we dropped this episode in the community, obviously, and we host it on traditional podcast channels as a marketing tool. But at the end of the day, each week's podcast episode is meant for our community. It's meant for our community to consume. And what an easier way to consume us than to pop in the AirPods, go for a walk, and listen to us talk about a topic that could be important to you and your community build. We keep our episodes short and concise, so they're not overwhelming, and we're not ad heavy in them. All of those are intentional choices. So the reason why you don't see hour-long podcast episodes from us is because we want you to consume all of it. And so instead of having an hour-long podcast episode, we do them in 20 to 30-minute chunks so that you can consume it. If you walk away with some tips and tools that you can implement within the next week, it's to intentionally not overwhelm the listener. And it is our number one piece of content that we drop every week.
Okay, friends, let's take a brief break and learn about one of my favorite community building tools, Circle.
I'm sure you've already heard me mention a time or two how much I love Circle for building my online community. If you're a fellow podcast host or digital creator looking to elevate your online community, look no further, because Circle is endgame. It revolutionizes the way you connect and engage with your audience. Circle offers an intuitive platform that brings together your content, conversations, and community all in one place. It's your one-stop shop for building a vibrant, interactive community that's uniquely yours. Whether you're a podcast host, course creator, or coach, Circle empowers you to create a space that's as dynamic and engaging as your content. Customized to your heart's content, from private spaces to integrative live streams, making your community both exclusive and inclusive. Transform your audience into a thriving community with Circle. Watch your engagement soar, your relationships deepen, and your brand grow. It's more than a platform. It's a community builder's dream. So, are you ready to bring your community together? Visit circle.so or the link in the show notes and start your free trial today.
Welcome back, friends.
Another strategy to consider is hosting live sessions and Q&As to directly connect with your community. This is one of my favorites. I know that sometimes these can feel like, are people going to come and that sort of thing? And there's all kinds of fancy tools to help with that. One way that I've helped one client really get over the hurdle of the Q&A of picking the right time is that we noticed immediately that there was never a right time. So if we hosted something in the evenings, it was really difficult for parents to come because they're doing time routine with their kids. And we noticed if we do it in the middle of the day, we've got working parents or we've got parents who are constantly on the go, but they still had some burning questions they were dying to hear the answers to. And so we came up with a form that you could fill out for the Q&A. And so you fill out this quick little form and you say, well, this is the question I have. Will you answer it in the next Q&A? And if you can be on live, awesome. And if you can't, we'll still cover your question. So it allowed people to feel seen and heard within the community. They were able to get their questions answered. We still do these in this community every month. And so what has been really beneficial is allowing those folks to say, oh my gosh, I wish I could make it, but I can't make it at that time. But I'm dying to know this. And then they'll go back and consume the replay. That's one way we are able to get over that hurdle of when do I schedule these? What time will actually work for folks? And so that has worked immensely well. And then last but not least, another strategy to consider is encourage community members to share their stories and experiences. Sometimes we get so busy listening to ourselves and we're always putting out the content and we're always deciding what to talk about next. So we don't take a beat and say, hey, what are your experiences with this topic? How could your experiences in community building help the rest of our membership? So make sure that you always take a pause and let your community actually show up for you. Because sometimes when, as content creators and community builders, we get lost in the creation and we overlook the fact that we're building a community so that we have a group of people to be there with us and support one another in this process. When we actually begin to talk about community success, I really want to redefine what that looks like. I want us to see past those vanity metrics and look at the overall health of our communities. And this snapshot that I like to do, I like to do them once a month for my clients. I like to say at the end of the month, what worked, what didn't, what could we do better at, and how are we going to take this data and how are we going to make the next month even better? And numbers are a part of that, but they're only one part of that. In the realm of community building, it's time to encourage a pivotal shift in perspective. And this is really what I want from you. I want you to have this shift. Shift away from the traditional metrics of quantity to the more meaningful metrics of quality in community engagement. This redefinition of success asks us to value the depth of connection and the richness of interactions over the sheer size of the community. Here's one of the other things that I have definitely noticed in community building is that when you really connect with your community members and they feel like an intricate part of your community, they are a lot more likely to go tell others that they should join. When you have so many people in your community that you can't connect with them, where they feel valued and they feel seen, it becomes really difficult for them to have those special interactions and those special engagements with you. So it's not the sheer number. It is the quality.
Let's pivot and talk about some of the long-term benefits of adopting this idea of quality over quantity interactions. And so number one is sustainable growth. Quality interaction leads to a self-sustaining community. Members who are actively involved and deeply connected are more likely to remain engaged over the long term, providing a stable foundation for growth. So once you have built that trust up, it really conveys itself into a strong group. Enhanced trust and loyalty is key to focus on when you start talking about quality engagement. This fosters an environment of trust and loyalty. The strong bond encourages repeat engagement, referrals, and a supportive base that is more resilient to market changes. I want people to feel like they come to the Community Lab when they're starting out a community, when they're a seasoned community builder, and they come and they interact with one another and they grow their business. And I want to build that trust and loyalty amongst my membership as well. Really, another benefit of adopting the quality over quantity approach is higher conversion rates. Engaged communities see higher conversion rates as recommendations and promotions within these communities come from trusted sources. So when you have built that base, that loyal customer base, they'll buy whatever you tell them to buy. I have a client and she doesn't put out a lot of product, but when she puts out a product, boom, it's a no-brainer. We literally will have, I am not kidding, we have gotten emails that have said, have you put anything out? I was in the shop. Was there anything new? I wanted to buy anything that was new. Like, best email ever, right? To have someone be so loyal that they're checking in to see if they can buy something from you. That is a true cheerleader, right? Members are more likely to act on the advice and suggestions from within the community, leading to better business outcomes overall. And last but not least, richer feedback and innovation. Quality engagement fosters an environment where feedback is not only more frequent, but also more insightful because they are now invested. So once you have built up those quality interactions over and over and over again, and you have this really loyal membership, they want to see the community succeed. And so then they are invested and they want to give you great feedback and they want to see things shift and grow and move. And just think how valuable that is to you as the community builder. This feedback can drive innovation and improvements in products, services, and community offerings, obviously, keeping the business dynamic and responsive to members' needs. Redefining success in community building to focus on quality over quantity is not just a strategy for business growth. It's a commitment to creating meaningful, lasting relationships and building communities that enrich both the lives of their members and those who lead them. This approach champions the idea that true success comes from the impact we have and the connections we nurture, paving the way for a more fulfilling journey for everyone involved.
Okay, friends, it's time to reevaluate and look at those quality interactions. We will see you next week, same time, same place. Bye.